it was the most wonderful event where we have replaced the very famous jacaranda that was planted by the university's founders in its early period and was blown over recently, unfortunately. It is actually a clone of the original tree, so it's like putting that tree back again. Now, that tree, even though it's an imported tree, the jacaranda, is actually named for the yacarana, which is actually a word in the Tupia Guarani language of the Amazon rainforest people. So it's actually another indigenous tree, very prized by people in the southern hemisphere on the other side of the globe.
Replanting that tree was also an opportunity to also plant a native tree alongside the jacaranda. Why is that?
Well, the university decided that it was important also to acknowledge the local community, the Aboriginal community, who are the owners of the country on which the university stands. You know, they're still the sovereign people. These are the Gadigal clan of the Eora Nation, as the people are now described in Sydney. The tree, the flame tree, has a name, Wiriwigni, which is in the Dharawal language, or Garajong. It's a Karajong as well, of the clan group language for this area that the university stands on. And it's also a tree very important to the indigenous community of this Sydney area, as is the jacaranda for the Tupia Guarani, a plant that people use lots of pieces. They use the bark, they use the sap, they use the leaves, they use all kinds of parts of this beautiful flame tree.
Why really specifically the flame tree?
It's a coastal New South Wales tree, east coast of Australian tree, a very, very spectacular tree that flowers in the same kind of way that the jacaranda does. Interestingly, it's also a tree that never loses its leaves, so it will provide a lot of shade in a very sunny corner. But it is very relevant to this particular area. The Karajong is a very common tree all over this area.
Tell us the symbolism of this tree, not only in the student folklore, but also in the traditional culture. So many stories about this tree.
Yes, well, I actually had that experience. I was an undergraduate at Sydney University, and we used to have this saying that if you didn't start studying before the jacaranda flowers began to fall, then you weren't going to pass. It was actually something that students really paid a lot of attention to. It was a very, very scary tree. So it was spectacular. You know, when it flowered, you knew you had a chance. But once the flowers started falling, that was the moment. But, you know, one of the really wonderful things about these two plantings is that when the First Fleet invaded in what we now call Sydney, of course, a lot of trees were felled. The British were using trees for all kinds of building projects, but also just to clear the area. And the Aboriginal people of Sydney had never seen people cutting trees completely down, big trees. You use every product of the tree. We have now, more than 200 years later, reversed that process. We are now planting an indigenous tree from the people of South America and an indigenous tree of the people of this area. And in fact, we have this connection all the way across the Pacific to South America. So in many ways, it's a very poignant moment where we've gone from cutting down the trees and leaving the Aboriginal people in Sydney devastated and crying, because they used to weep as these trees were being cut down and hug the trees, the original tree huggers, to actually planting new trees to see new growth happening.
Part of Aboriginal culture that you only use what you need. You don't need
exactly
to chop down the whole tree. That's why we have scar trees and all
that's
that, because
right,
you just remove the bark to use it for what you need. You don't have to cut down the whole tree.
That's right. And the Karajong bark was one of the most superior kinds of bark for making fishing lines. And, of course, the people all through Sydney and down the coast and up the coast lived off the fruits of the sea. And, in fact, again, they looked after the First Fleet that arrived here. Those people would have starved to death if it wasn't for the Aboriginal people sharing fish made with lines made from this kind of tree.
And the tree also has got also another symbolism in Aboriginal culture. It symbolizes the sharing of knowledge from generation to generation. And is this what the university is also trying to celebrate at the same time?
Yes, and also knowledge systems, indigenous knowledge systems. This university's now got some fabulous projects that are coming out of the Office of the Deputy Vice-Chancellor for Indigenous Strategy and Services. Professor Shane Houston's got projects going to take students out into communities to develop projects that are designed by the communities, that are the kinds of things the communities themselves want to be done. In a sense, the students are providing a service. It's service learning. These trees symbolise this kind of Indigenous knowledge, embedding Indigenous knowledge, having an understanding, the fact that everybody will know that these trees are not just beautiful trees, but they're also useful plants. They're kind of like an entire supermarket, as you just described. You know, you can use every part of the tree to create everything from fishing lines to housing to dye-making substances. You know, it's a remarkable thing to have trees like that.
Coming back to the folklore of Sydney University, I hear some academic staff wanted a tree that flowers earlier than in the year so that it could encourage students to start studying earlier.
I don't know. That's a wonderful idea. Create a whole new folklore. Well, look, you know, we have such fabulous students. They study all year round. They're very attentive, so we don't have to worry about that folklore. You know, the university has Indigenous students from all over the world, but also, of course, local students from Sydney who are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders.
You kind of touched on something that we covered last year when it was up and running. This service learning, how is the project going?
Brilliantly. Communities are actually almost coming to us with more project and more of a demand than we may be able to meet at this stage, but there's a lot of interest from students. It's wonderful to see how much the students are enjoying the business of partnering up with communities to have real-life outcomes for their work. It's very unusual as an undergraduate to have the opportunity to do something that actually makes a really big difference in the world. Recently, students were presenting to the Tiwi community on a project they'd developed up there with the community, and it was extremely well received, and they're very welcome back. So, like the planting of these trees, it's the seeding of new ideas, planting of new ideas. Whether these students continue to work with Aboriginal communities into the future or not, they will always have that experience and that knowledge that they can carry forward into the rest of their lives, which is very important.
Yeah,
we are in Australia.
How do you call Australia? Now, a new discovery also a few days ago that actually First Nations people have been around for much, much, much longer than
65,000
years.
Yeah, well, we always knew that.
but it wasn't accepted.
Well, actually, when I say we always knew that, of course, back to stories and knowledge, the really interesting thing about that archaeological dig up on the Mirar country, Gunjemi Corporation's area up in near Kakadu, is that it does actually demonstrate what Aboriginal people know now and the wonderful understanding of the country, of technology, of the minerals, the plants, the animals, the skies. Every single thing about this country is actually something that's been... Imagine developing your science over 65,000 years, and that's what Aboriginal people in this country have been doing for 65,000 years, developing a deep scientific and philosophical knowledge. It's becoming increasingly apparent to everybody in the world that our philosophy as Aboriginal people, that the country owns you, is really actually at the heart of human existence. We are owned by this earth. We are part of this earth. And if we don't perform the rituals and look after the country in a way that sustains it, we won't continue. That's just the simple matter of fact of truth. That's how it is. So the country owns us. This planting of these trees is an acknowledgement that this country owns us. We can't just randomly choose to plant something from somewhere else without putting something back that's of this same place.